The concept of a minimum wage has long been thought of as a starting point. If you work hard, gain knowledge, become a valuable asset to your place of employment, your earnings would increase based upon your value to that company. Today, there's a growing voice which is demanding a higher minimum wage for new and low-wage employees. While those voices claim there would be an immediate benefit, is that an actual fact, or is it a theory with a social experiment which could be costly for those that claims to want to help? My first guest today is with us to examine this issue, which is especially important since New Jersey is considering a $15 minimum wage. He is the managing editor of the Employment Policies Institute, Michael Saltzman. How are you today, Michael?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Two websites for you, informationfacesof15.com, and learn more about Employment Policies Institute, epionline.org. So again, superficially on the surface, giving someone more money in a new job or one where they earn relatively low pay, where's the harm in that?
You know, I like to say, I mean, there's a lot of different directions you can go in the minimum wage debate, but at its core, it really comes down to, are customers willing to pay for it? You know, if people were ever and always willing to pay higher prices for their food, for their groceries, for items at retail stores, we wouldn't even really have a debate about the minimum wage, because every time it goes up, people would just raise prices and we'd get on with our lives. But it's because people like bargains. It's because people like the dollar menu. That we have this debate. When labor costs go up at a business that's already got really narrow profit margins, whether that's a restaurant, whether it's an amusement business, I mean, you can sort of take your pick. If they can't raise their prices to offset that, then they've got to find ways to adapt that mean, you know, hiring fewer employees, staffing fewer employees at any given time, and in some cases, embracing automation that takes the place of employees. And so that ends up being the problem with the raise, is that you actually may end up taking some income away from people rather than giving them more of it.
I was thinking, too, and I mean, just the idea of doing the same with less. You have $50 a week budgeted for gas for your vehicle. Price of gas goes from $3 to $4. Well, I'm now going to buy less gas because I just had that $50. That's probably how an employer will look at it. I'm paying this person, let's just say, $22,000 a year. Now with the minimum wage, whatever it's going to be, I can't do mental math that fast. Let's say it's going to be $27,500. Well, if I cut their hours down to this, I could still get away with just paying them the same $22,000. There won't be any further burden on me. I won't burden my customers that way.
Yeah, you know, and I think the dynamic you identified, I mean, it's become unfortunately easier in this day and age, you know, with some of the technology we're seeing, so that, you know, there are conveniences for the customer, whether it's placing their order on a touch screen or something similar, that are conveniences that used to be part of somebody's job description. And I think the issue is that I don't think the customers and the policymakers always connect the experience they're having in a store with the fact that there used to be somebody who filled that job. And I think you can even see that right now in some of the youth unemployment data. I mean, if you look at just the unemployment rate for young adults, it's at low levels that we really haven't seen since the Clinton years. But at the same time, the number of teens who aren't in the labor force is near a historic high. And that's, I think, one of the reasons is because a lot of these jobs that teens traditionally filled, you know, just don't exist anymore.
And I've seen studies, too, where the earlier in life you get a job, the more successful your later life is going to be, because you're that much sooner developing a work ethic, getting a greater sense of responsibility to others, and finding ways to gain skills, knowledge, and abilities.
Yeah, I think that's a missing part of the conversation sometimes, is people talk about these jobs, you know, they variously use terms like, you know, dead-end jobs or something like that. But, I mean, really, these are jobs that serve as, for some folks, as sort of a jumping-off point. And for others, it can be an industry not just of first chances, but for some people, an industry of kind of a last resort. If they've been failed by the school system, by their family, by their social network. You know, we've got on average 1,000 people still drop out of high school every day. You know, these jobs have to exist because, in some ways, there's a societal responsibility to make sure they're still able to get into the workforce. And so when we cut off those bottom rungs of the career ladder, I think that's when you start winding up with larger numbers of people who just aren't in the labor force.
So with Michael Saltzman, who is the managing director of the Employment Policies Institute, epionline.org, we're putting a focus on proposing a $15 minimum wage, which you can learn more of as well at facesof15.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Another idea, a concept, because we've talked about people already having jobs and they're going to get a raise, which also, you know, a side effect is someone who's been there longer, maybe someone starting is around the $10 mark, all of a sudden is going to come up to $15, and someone's been there 5 years is going to get the Me Too factor comes into play. But additionally, someone going into the work field, I'm the employer. I have two people in front of me. One person, first job, second person, has knowledge, has abilities, been somewhere else in a similar industry. I've got $25,000 to invest in a person, much like with a stock. Are you going to invest in an Amazon with a proven track record, or are you going to put that $25,000 in a startup?
it's a good point. I mean, I think that you know, I think especially if you look at the dynamic, and it's interesting. We were interviewing, this was I guess last summer, some teens in New York City where the minimum wage has already gone up or is rising rapidly to $15 an hour, and some of them were noting that the grocery store near their house where it used to be you could get a job at 16 years old or something of that nature. I mean, now they were asking people, they wanted people who were 19 and 20 to sort of justify that higher wage rate. And I think you'll see more of that. People, you know, people wanting to kind of, if there's limited dollars to spend, invest in a more highly skilled employee who can justify that.
Now, there are some alternatives being floated around here in New Jersey, for example. State Senate President Steve Sweeney wants to exempt teen workers from a $15 minimum wage. So he's looking mainly at the tourism industry for the Jersey Shore, which they work in such a small margin of $15 minimum wage would be a job killer, far more than a job creator. And I know that your organization has the idea of if you put a stronger focus and maybe fine-tune the earned income credit, that would wind up helping more people than a intangible minimum wage hike, which, again, through various means and methods, could be a detriment more than it could be an asset.
Yeah, you know, so we put out a report recently here, and we had a table in the report, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but given the federal earned income tax credit, which really operates, you know, to get rid of kind of the wonky jargon, I mean, it operates a lot like an increase in the minimum wage, but it just does it through the tax code instead of through an employer mandate. With the benefits we've already put in place, if you're a single parent in New Jersey with two children, your minimum wage is actually already $12.25 an hour, because you get an additional over $7,000 a year added to your salary in benefits from the federal and state earned income tax credit. So I think there are ways to make it better. I mean, for starters, I think it needs to be made more generous for childless adults. I mean, that's a little bit of a, and there's some bipartisan agreement on that at the federal level. You know, I think another way it could be improved is trying to find ways so that it's not just being distributed in one lump sum, but then maybe people are experiencing some of that benefit on a biweekly or monthly basis. They've tried to figure that out at the federal level. I mean, those are productive policy conversations about raising wages, as opposed to thinking about, they're talking about New Jersey, which, you know, is a pretty massive, you know, if you look at the current minimum wage in New Jersey and you look at going up to $15 an hour, you're talking about a 75% increase. You know, I realize for a lot of folks who, if they've never sort of like owned a business before, I mean, that those numbers may not be tangible, but just consider that for a typical restaurant, you know, labor costs are about a third of their budget. So if people think about something that's a third of their budget, maybe that's like rent. You know, if what would happen if the rent went up by 75%, even over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 years? I mean, that I think for most people, that would be catastrophic. And so I think in that context, people sort of need to understand the magnitude of what we're talking about.
And I think the New Jersey plan is too, for at least in this stage, it's really fluid, but I think the goal is to hit that $15 mark by, it's either 2022 or 2023. I'm not sure which, but they're pushing to get a vote in before the end of this year. So hopefully the haste of that goal won't make, a negative out of a what could be a positive versus the means by which you said through the earned income credit. And you can learn more about this issue and with the debate that's certainly going to be ongoing here in the state, as well as other states, if you're listening on the stream, and the states you that have the $15 wage putting in, already statistics are showing that it's a growing negative than an improving positive. But be that as it may, facesof15.com is one of the ways that you can learn more about the realities and the math of the matter and learn more about the work of the Employment Policies Institute. Their website is epionline.org. He is their managing director, Michael Saltzman. Michael, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.